So Vale is described as a dark as pitch comedy with a sting in its tail. It's by the State Theatre Company. It's set on New Year's Eve penthouse suite. So I'm joined now by the company's artistic director, Geordie Brookman, whose wife actually wrote the play as well. Geordie, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us about the play Vale. What should people expect from it?
Vale's one of those awesome pieces that it starts out like a sort of very uncomfortable dark comedy of manners, I guess, you know, people behaving badly. It's all set around a family who own a massive hotel empire, you know, on the scale of, I guess, on the scale of the Trumps or the Hiltons, except they're an Australian family. And they're throwing a New Year's Eve party in the penthouse suite of their new kind of flagship hotel. And the central character is this guy, Joe Vale, who's built the... he's built the company up out of nothing, and tonight they're going to be hanging out, he and his wife, with their daughter and their daughter's boyfriend, who have both just graduated from their law degrees. And so you get this wonderful clash of personalities. And then halfway through the play, this young man's mother turns up unexpectedly, and so you get this kind of clash of... clash between classes, cultures, and look, you know, it's enough to say that there's some secrets, there's some history, things go from bad to worse in the second half, but in a kind of, in a really thrilling way.
Mm. Oh, I love plays like that, sort of the dark comedy kind of ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What was it sort of influenced from? What?
Nikki Bloom, the playwright, she went through a mentorship some years ago with Edward Albee, the great American playwright who wrote Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. And, you know, this is the kind of style of play, I suppose, that he specialises in, or used to specialise in. He's passed away now. And because it's a bit of a stylistic leap for her. Her last work for State Theatre Company was a piece called Little Bird, which was a piece for Paul Capsis, and it was this sort of gothic fairy tale piece. Whereas this, you know, this has her operating in this kind of very sharp-edged, naturalistic style. And I guess she wanted to write a play about the tensions that can exist within families and the way that different generations compete, I suppose, and how, I guess, it's part of the natural cycle of the world that younger generations ultimately... have to kind of tear down the structures of their elders to make something new.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's really interesting. I've got a massive family, so I understand that dynamic. What kind of audience do you think would enjoy this production?
Oh, look, really wide-ranging, I think. You know, there's a lot in there for a traditional theatre goer because the sharpness of the dialogue and the construction of it. But I think it's going to probably particularly resonate with, you know, people between... probably between 25 and 40 who, like me, have lived their lives in the shadow of the baby boomers and, you know, and are probably ready to kind of sweep the old order away and take the reins of the world. So, I think it's a great one to be, you know, to be going out on a Friday night with a bunch of mates too.
Mm. So is there some kind of underlying message that you're hoping people take away from it?
I think it's probably particularly about looking at both family relationships but also gender. And you know, Joe Vale, that central character, he's very emblematic of a particular kind of straight white male who has been in a position of power for a long time and is probably just starting to get a bit anxious because he can feel the way that the world works turning slightly. I hope it makes people look at the way that they relate to their own families, but perhaps also question the dynamics in their relationships.
Mm. I mean, it's kind of a timely one. Sort of identity politics is big at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, Nick started writing it before Trump rose to power, but it certainly it certainly it's gained extra weight and prescience, I suppose, with Trump being in the White House.
Yeah, and has it developed then since that time?
Oh, look, a little bit. It's probably particularly present in the design. The design is quite extraordinary. So Mark Thompson, who has designed a number of the operas on the harbour in Sydney, and you know, he's one of Opera Australia's major designers. He's designed for the National Theatre in London. You know, he's one of our top two or three in the country. He's come back to Adelaide to design it, and we spent a lot of time looking at references from the Trump hotels, and you know, there may or may not be a gold-wrapped piano on stage. You just have to wait. You look, you know, it's pretty fun when you get to create a space that is ever so slightly, or maybe not ever so slightly, quite over the top in that sense, you know, where too much money has been thrown at something. You know, the tricky thing for us in theatre is we have to try and make it all look very expensive while not actually spending a lot of money.
Yeah, that'd be fun designing the set. And are the costumes quite impressive too then?
Yeah, they're pretty flash. You know, it's all very contemporary, but it's all kind of lovely, kind of slightly over the top, high end stuff.
I'm currently speaking with Geordie Brookman from State Theatre Company about the show Vale. And what are the actors like in the production?
We've got a great cast. Mark Saturno, lovely Adelaide actor, he's playing Joe Vale, and it's, you know, it's one of those great theatrical creations. He gets to kind of Joe's a bit of a monster. So there's a lot there for Mark to sink his teeth into. We're welcoming Tilda Cobham Hervey, a great young rising actor, back onto the stage after she did Things I Know to Be True with us last year. But, you know, she's, of course, on the rise. She was in 52 Tuesdays and the Kettering Incident and Barracuda. And then a number of other really wonderful local actors, Elena Karapetis, Jim Smith, and we've brought a beautiful actor, Emma Jackson, down from Sydney for the show as well. So it's a really awesome cast.
Mm. Oh, yeah, definitely. And how long have you guys been working on it now?
We've just finished our fourth week of rehearsal, and so we put this set into the theatre on Monday, and we'll have our first audience on Friday night.
Oh, that's exciting.
So, yeah, we're at the business end.
Yeah. It seems quite quick, 4 weeks, or has it been a full on?
Well, that's the way that we have to do things. You know, I think we'd all love to longer rehearsal processes, but but you know, that's one of the things about theatre. You kind of create stuff in these high pressure environments, and we're all quite used to operating that way.
Mm. Do you prefer being acting or sort of behind the scenes?
Oh no, I haven't been on stage since my first year of university. I much prefer helping other people pretend to be other people.
Do you have any advice for like up and coming people?
I think it's the big thing I always say to younger actors or people who want to get into the industry is to kind of read, watch and think as widely as possible. You know, they should be kind of vacuuming up as much interesting, challenging theatre, film, music, increasingly television, amazing work being done in television at the moment, as they can, and reading as much as they can. Because, you know, part of your job as an artist is to kind of interpret the world for other people. And so you have to soak up as much of it as you can. And then you just have to be prepared for a hard slog. There's a very, very small number of people who have these kind of stratospheric careers in the kind of celebrity culture we have. But the bulk of the people in the industry are incredibly hardworking and work very, very hard for fairly relatively little reward. So you've got to be sure that it's something you really want to do, because it requires passion and commitment. But the main thing is to engage, you know, is to get out there and see stuff and never be afraid to be opinionated, you know, to think about what you like and what you don't like and why.
Yeah. And is that your own personal experience?
Yeah. I mean, it's a bit daggy, really. I come from a bit of a theatre family. My father's a producer, my mother's a playwright, both of my brothers are in the industry. So I've sort of grown up in it. But I think when I was a teenager, I was determined to, well, I, was, for a while there, I was, all I wanted to do was play drums in my band. But then I just wanted to go and make films. But I kind of got distracted by theatre along the way and really fell in love with it. And it's, I just think it's an extraordinary art form. You know, it's like, it's the same experience as live music for me. Like there's, you simply have to be there. There's no alternative way to experience it. Theatre is different every single night, depending on the combination of people in the audience and the particular chemistry on stage. And that's sort of what I'm always looking for. I kind of go, the experience I want to make for audiences is the one that I have when I go to a great concert, where you kind of just get picked up by what you're watching.
Yeah. Is that how you decide what a good play is?
Yeah, I guess so. It's about storytelling as well. You know, our main job is to act as storytellers, and I think people are, you know, we need story, we need narrative. I think it's how we process things, it helps us to think about how we view the world. So I always look for good story. I look for interesting theatrical conceits. So I look for plays that are going to push the form a little bit, so that they're not too kind of predictable or cut and dried, because you want to always be trying to move the art form forward and not kind of stay still. Or I'm not very interested in making pieces of what I guess I'd call museum theatre. I think it has to be a forward-looking art form. So I guess I look for a mix of those qualities, and when I'm putting a season together over the course of a year, I look for plays that will, I guess, speak to each other in interesting ways. You know, we have a really beautiful, loyal core to our audience, our subscribers, who a lot of them will see every single play that we do over the course of the year. And, you know, there's nothing I like more than having a conversation with one of our subbies, you know, about how different plays relate. And that's, you know, that's a really delightful part of the job.
Because you recently announced what's going to happen next year.
Yeah.
So what should we be looking forward to?
Oh, look, there's an enormous amount there. Where it's actually going to be our, I think, the company's biggest season on record. So we're going to be producing 9 plays across the course of the year. There's some real highlights. There's a just wonderful 80s comedy called After Dinner by Andrew Bevel, who's probably our greatest kind of living adopted South Australian playwright. You know, it's all set in a pub bistro, and it's 5 kind of lonely hearts, sort of terribly socially awkward people all looking for love. And it's kind of bright and brash and silly and just wonderful. So there's After Dinner. I'm doing a production of a really wonderful adaptation of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility, which, you know, it's one of those books that everyone loves, and I never quite knew how you'd ever put it on stage, but then I found this adaptation by Kate Hamill, a US writer, and it's just kind of deeply theatrical and delightful. So that'll be great. And I think another major highlight is we're doing a version of Tim Winton's That Eye the Sky. Kate Champion, a really wonderful dance theatre and theatre maker, one of our kind of leading theatre makers in the country, she's coming down to direct that. So those would be 3 of the things I pick out, but there's great stuff across the year.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be lots to look forward to. Yeah. So have you really thought about how they interact with each other then?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, part of what strings through next year is, I guess, it's a look at ideas of belief. So whether it's, you know, whether it's that kind of belief in love, that longing for love that sits in After Dinner, or and Sense and Sensibility, or this kind of sense of whether there's a world beyond our world, which runs through That Eye the Sky. There's a beautiful Irish play, Faith Healer, that's coming later in the year that Colin Friels stars in and Judy Davis is directing, which is a bit of a coup to get them down. And that kind of looks at it very directly at our ability to believe in things beyond the natural world. So, yeah, that's one of the ideas that's kind of knitting through.
Mm. Definitely. And I've read that you've recently announced that you're going to be leaving.
Yeah, well, it's a longer goodbye than John Farnham. Next year will be my last full year with the company, but I'm really delighted that I've agreed to a 1 year extension, which means that I was actually due to finish up mid next year, but I'm going to stay on for one more year so that I can program the 2019 season and direct the first work in that year, and then you know, hand the keys to the place over to somebody new, which is really exciting. And it, you know, I guess we wanted to make the decision a long way out and make it quite publicly, to give the company time to settle and to make sure that the company's got a good long period within which to find the perfect person to come in, so that doesn't have to be done in a rush. And it also means that, you know, I can be open about what I'm doing and you know, put all of my energy into delivering one more hopefully really awesome season in 2019.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are your plans after that?
I'm kind of packing up my little family, and in mid 2019 we'll actually move over to Berlin in Germany, and be based in Europe probably for at least a year or two. My partner Nikki, who is the writing genius behind Vale, she's lots of doors are opening for her over that side of the world. Her piece The Young King has just closed a season on Broadway at the New Victory Theatre. So there's stuff happening over there for her, and for me personally, I'm just looking forward to, refreshing and getting to spend some time with I've got two young kids, and I'd really like some concentrated time with them. But also, you know, I'm really looking forward to exploring another culture and seeing what might happen over there.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's going to be really exciting then.
Yeah. It's still, you know, it's odd, still a long way off yet, but it's nice to it's nice to have the news out there.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.